bent to us here. And here we are again in revival services, and you come and close off our preaching.
Lord, bless you. Bless you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I feel like I'm surrounded with all these Italians in here. I'm Dutch, German, French, Canadian, Indian, Scotch, Irish. Amen. My wife says you're so mixed up you don't know what you are. But I must say, I married an Italian. Amen. So her grandfather came from Italy. And her grandmother's parents came from Italy, and they were all born here. When they have a funeral, it's all the limousines pulled in. Amen, brother. And but praise the Lord. So I married well. Amen. And I can prove that I eat well. Amen. But boy, God has been good. On the back table back there, I do have some tracks back there. This is a track of my personal testimony on here. That's a picture of what I used to be. Who said about long hair? Was that you, brother, the hippie era? I was in a church a while back, and a fella got up, and I love Brother Joe, and Brother Joe, pastor, had everybody giving their testimony one night, and yeah, Brother Joe gave his testimony one night. Brother Joe gets up, and he says, "Now, folks," he says, "I was saved back in the 60s, and he says I was a long-haired flower child Jesus lover, you know, is what he said. And I love Brother Joe, amen. He gave his testimony. So I got back to his daughter, Brother Joe. I says, I was in the 60s, and I says, I was a long haired redneck, and we beat up the flower children. But there's some tracks back there on the table. Pick one up, or a couple of them up. There's also, now I've only got six out there right now, but for the preachers, there's also a personal testimony CD out there on my table, and that was the man that led me to Lord in prison in 1974 is on that CD with me. Now, he's not a Baptist, but he doesn't tell you that on the CD, amen. In fact, we did the CD, Brother Carpenter, at Massillon Baptist College in the chapel there, him and I did it, and when it was first done, it was in the day before CDs. So it was done on cassette tape. So we've had to boost the volume and do some other things, but you can hear it, amen. And he's on there with me. It's a dialogue. It's about 44 minutes long, I think. There's a invitation on the end of it. Take it, make a copy of it, give it to somebody, amen, and just hand them out. But there's six of them there. And if you don't get one and you want one, give me your name and your address, and I'll mail you one. It won't cost you a thing. They're free. I give them out all around the country. Now, everybody else who wants one has to pay me for it, amen. And not anything I do get for them, that goes right back into that ministry of being able to produce some CDs. My wife has some stuff back there. The majority of that money that comes in for the tithes and other things on that table back there helps young college students going to short-term mission trips and things like that. She uses that money for that. It's her end of the ministry. Amen. She does with it how she wants, and I'm not allowed to touch it, brother. In fact, when people come to give me a check, I don't want it, because you put it in my pocket. I'm spending it. Amen. I'm just telling you ahead of time. 1 Timothy with me, please, today. The book of 1 Timothy. It is a privilege to be here. Boy, I've been encouraged. What a tremendous message, as we've heard, Brother Carpenter. What a tremendous message on Peter. Boy, I got some things today that helped. Amen. I appreciate that preaching today. The messages on encouragement. I'm thinking the whole time you fellows are preaching, there goes my message. There goes my message. All four of my points are gone, brother. I mean, there's only been three preachers so far, you know, so I ain't got nothing left, amen, but we're going to go for it anyway. Hallelujah, and God is good. I sure thank the Lord for it. I want you to if you'd stand with me just for a moment as we read this and as we pray. I want to look at just here in 1 Timothy for a little bit. I'm just going to read two verses, verse 12 and verse 13, where he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Father, thank you for your precious word, and I pray, dear God, that you'll help me as I preach this, Father. Help us to receive it with gladness and joy. Father, strengthen us, Lord, these men of God in here today, not just the preachers, but all of your children here today, Father, the ladies alike, the lay people here, Father, those who serve you in this church. Father, encourage us, Lord, please. Help us, Father, in the areas that you have for each one of us, that you'd have all the glory and all of the honor. And Father, as always we pray, Father, Lord, I don't know the hearts of every person in here, but you do. And Father, if there is someone that's not saved, please touch that heart today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. As I begin this morning for a few moments on this text, I just want to look at a few things. I don't even have a title to this message, but the Lord impressed this on my heart a while back, and I think there's some things here just in these two verses that help me as a believer in Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to look at, if you would please, is number one, the enabling of Christ. The enabling. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Paul says to Timothy, he's enabled me. Can I make this statement to you? Without the enabling of Christ, you can do absolutely nothing. You can't have a church. I mean, you can have one, but it ain't going to be God's church. It ain't going to be what God wants. It's not going to be what Christ entails for the church and or the ministry. Evangelism or the mission field, Brother DeWitt, or wherever it's at, or in Romania. It doesn't matter. If Christ is not in it, if you're not enabled by him, it will never float, it will never fly, but it will sink and fall. It will not be what God has intended to be. And Paul recognized that. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. He put all the credit back to him, because I can tell you what, because it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about this ministry or that ministry, but it's all about him. And we must recognize the fact that he is the enabling power, regardless of what we do, regardless if it's a church, a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, a common person, and I don't. There's no common people in a church, amen. No such thing as a common person. There's no such thing as a common church, amen. There's no common people in the church, amen. And we're all not screwed on the right boat, preacher, amen. If you're saved, and so no matter what it is you do, no matter if it's a deacon, no matter if it's a Sunday school teacher, no matter if you come and you cook, no matter what you do as a believer in Jesus Christ, it's worthless if it's not enabled by him. You must have the enabling power of God. Look at 2 Corinthians. Keep your marker here in 1 Timothy. In 2 Corinthians, a very familiar, I know, verse of scripture to you. I tried to quote these many times, but what's happened over the years, I've had heart failure 3 times, had AFib one time, had open heart surgery one time. I've just been a mess, bro. I'm falling apart. I'm only 62, amen. I'm not as old as you look. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, amen. I'm not as old as Brother Brasser back there. I know that, amen. But I just fell apart all of a sudden, brother. Everything, that was it. I'm done. And my mind's gone. I know what you're saying. Your mind's always been going, amen. But look here at 2 Corinthians with me, if you just will, for a moment. I believe I got the right verse. Chapter 3, verse 5, where he says, Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That's his enabling. It's all of him. I cannot do anything apart from him. I can't get meetings without him. Oh, I could, but they wouldn't be his meetings, amen. I can't travel with him. Oh, I could, but it ain't going to be how he wants me to travel. I can do all kinds of things of my own strength. I could even work on my own truck. I carry my own tools, and I used to do my own transmissions. I gave that up a long time ago. They got too heavy for me to take out and put back in now, amen. But, you know, I can do all kinds of things, but without the power of God, I can do nothing. It'll always fail, never come to fruition, never be what God wants it to be, and it won't be for you either as a believer in Jesus Christ. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. We have to have his enablement in our ministries, in our lives, in our homes, in our churches. No matter what it is, we have to have his enablement. I can't even be the husband I need to be without the enabling power of God. I cannot be the father I need to be without the enabling power of God. Amen. Amen. How many of you know the Craig family? Some of you know the Craig family. The Craig family, that's Dr. Bruce Craig's son, Matthew Craig, married my youngest daughter, amen, and they travel around and they sing, you know, and I like to let them know that now they're starting to get a little income. I think they ought to share that with me, because there would be no Craig family without my wife and I, amen. That's how I look at it. Without us, there wouldn't be. He wouldn't have married her. They wouldn't have seven kids traveling and singing, amen. But they can't do that without the enabling power of God. Neither can you, and neither can I, amen. It's all by Him that we can even be what we are, even if we are not in the ministry per se, and we're all in the ministry, but even if we're not traveling on the road doing many things as believers in Christ, we still have to have His enabling power. Philippians 2:13-14 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So then He says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." I don't know about you, but I used to murmur when I was younger. Anybody like that beside me? Anybody murmur since you've been in the ministry? You know, it's like the young man. You know, he's in his home, and his dad says, or maybe his mom says, "Take out the garbage." And he says, "Why don't you just take out the stinking garbage yourself?" And she said, "What'd you say?" And he said, "I said I'd be glad to take out the garbage for you." Amen. So, you know, sometimes we murmur about things with the Lord. Amen. He said, "Just do all things without murmurings." Why? Because if He enables you to do it, you can do it without murmuring. If He's the enabling power, you can do it without disputing Him. If He's the enabling power, you can accomplish what He wants you to accomplish as a believer in Jesus Christ, regardless of what it is, where you're at, or anything. Number two. You see, you're going fast. I got four. I only got four, amen. No poem, just 4 points. I tried to write a poem, but it just didn't fit in here. So look with me, if you will, down back to the text. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. That's the enabling of Christ, number one. Number two, for that He counted me faithful. Yeah, you know what I wrote down? That's the encouragement of Christ. He counted me faithful. I don't know why He would... Why would He, preacher, why would He reach down into a prison cell, into the wickedness of my life, why would He, and then lift me up out of there, and then, uneducated as anything, don't know anything, and He would still, almost said, don't know nothing, and still put me in the ministry. That's encouragement to me. Why would He want to do that? Why would He want to use you? I mean, you were in the army. The Air Force. We know what those guys. Why would He want you? You know, you were insurance. Yeah. So insurance. Why would He want you to be an evangelist? Why would He even? Because I can talk to people. It had nothing to do with that, amen. Why would He want you, brother? Why would He want you in the ministry? You're Italian. Good night. If anybody ought not to be in the ministry, oh yeah, they can get money. We heard that. They know how to get trucks. Amen. Praise the Lord. By the way, Bob, I'm thinking about another one. Why don't you talk to your uncle for me or whatever it was, another truck. A big truck. Big truck. Amen. The encouragement of Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, 1 through 2, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Amen. Well, I don't know why He would encourage me in the ministry. I don't know why He would want me to be there. But I know this, that since I'm here, I need to be faithful. Yeah. He's encouraged me to do the right thing, to follow Him, to obey Him, to witness to people, to tell people about Jesus Christ. Brother, I'm like you. The more I talk about what Christ has done for me, the more excited I get. My wife sometimes, when I pull in for fuel somewhere, she'll say, "What took you so long?" Well, 200 gallons of fuel takes quite a bit of fuel. And, I guess 115 gallons in that one. And she says, "But what took you so long? You went in to pay. How come?" And I said, "Well, they asked me. They looked out there. That's a big truck. That's a big trailer. Are you on vacation?" "Well, yeah, it's a working vacation. Preachers think I'm on vacation all the time, amen." So, no, I'm a traveling evangelist. And I have people go like this. They look at me and say, "What's that?" They don't know. Yeah. So here's how I like to describe it. I don't endorse the fella anymore, but I say, Billy Graham. I said, "Have you ever seen Billy Graham on TV?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, I do what Billy Graham did, only on a little scale." Amen. That's and they say, "Oh." And some people will say, "You're one of them." Amen. I don't always know what they mean by that, but yeah, I am one of them, amen. I'm a born-again believer saved by the very grace of God, and I've given out track after track after track, talking to people about Jesus Christ all around the country, but it's only because I'm encouraged by Christ to do that, enabled by Him to do that, because I tell you, if I'm encouraging myself, my friend, I'm going to be discouraged, amen. And I'm not going to have courage, brother, if it's up to me, but it's up to Him and what He does and what He wants, and it's up to Him and what He does and wants in your ministries as a believer in Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 30 through 31, He makes this statement, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He's got less counting to do on mine, amen. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Boy, I take encouragement of that. And he looks at me and says, you're more valued than the sparrows. I got a place for them, and you're more valued than they are. That encourages me to know that I mean something to Jesus Christ. I might not mean nothing to you. I don't know. I might not mean nothing to my wife sometimes, amen, the way I am. But I mean something to Him. I mean something to Him. And I'm encouraged in that. That I know that the Lord is in the ministry, and that the Lord wants me where He wants me. I had people last year when I had heart failure two times last summer, and I had to cancel here. We canceled 5 months worth of meetings. And I can't. My doctor said you need to cancel all the way up through the end of December. So I didn't. I canceled them 1 month at a time because I always thought I was going to get better, And boy, little did I know, I didn't get better. I got worse, And I thought I was getting better. And so I canceled month after month. But the Lord kept me busy the whole time in Michigan. Yeah. My wife and we take off sometimes on Sunday morning, brother, drive 2 hours. She'd drive all the way there. I'd sleep in the car. I get there, I preach, I go back out and sleep again. I preach that night. She'd drive back home. I'd be sleeping on the way home. Couldn't keep awake. I was a mess. I'd be preaching like this. I'd be up there preaching all of a sudden. And I wasn't even moving then because I was afraid to let go of the pulpit. But everything would go like this. Everything would start to close in on me. And so I'd look down like I was looking at my notes. And everything cleared up. I get up and I start preaching again. Amen. That's all I could do. But that was Christ. It wasn't me. Amen. It was all the Lord. And I took encouragement that that's still what He wanted me to do, was preach the Word of God. Amen. Yeah. And so I just continued on doing it, and I could not do it without Him. And He said, you're more valuable than many sparrows. Fear not. Don't fear. Don't worry about it. My doctor says you need to. My cardiologist says you need to quit. You need to get off the road. My doctor said you need to stop. You need to get off the road. You need to find something else to do. What else am I going to do? What else am I going to do? Yeah, all I know is the ministry. All I know is the prayer. 35 years in the ministry, 25 years in evangelism, 40 years in salvation. I don't know anything else to do. Amen.
That's right.
Don't know anything else to do but the ministry. I don't want to do anything else but the ministry.
That's right.
You ought to take a church, Brother Mike. I asked God last year. I said, Lord, do you want me to stop? Do you want me to take a church where I can see a doctor regularly every 3 months like they want me to? Some of them every 2 months. And one would like to see me every month. And the Lord would not give me peace about anything but to continue doing what I'm doing. Amen. And I don't know why He kept me alive. Doctor said you should have died 3 times. I said, oh. My brother said it should have been 4. I said, what do you mean 4? He said, yeah, the time you stepped off the school roof when we were doing what we shouldn't have been doing, you fell on your face, amen, 15 feet to the ground, That was a mess, amen, brother. That's still a mess, amen, hallelujah. The encouragement, the enabling, and the encouragement of Christ. And then look with me if you want. I can't grasp this. I can't grasp it many times, because he says then, after that, he says he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. That's the embedding of Christ. The embedding of Christ. He doesn't just enable me. He doesn't just encourage me, brother. But He embeds you, and He embeds me, and He embedded you in the ministry, or embedded you in the church where you're at. And I got to thinking about that word put. We think of put. I just put this book right here. Amen. I just put that right there, that mandolin thing. Never could play one of him. Amen. I just put the preacher's Jesus shoe on the floor. Amen. That's how we think of the word put. I put it in a place. You know what that word, I got to look into that word, and I don't know anything about the Greek, I don't know anything about the Hebrew, but I do know the Strong Concordance, and I have a hard time spelling that sometimes, amen. That word put means this. This blew my mind. In fact, let me demonstrate it to you. Sometimes we think the word put means, not for everybody here, I hope, amen, but we think it means something like this. God put me in the ministry.
Yeah.
I'm the pastor. I'm the evangelist. I'm the missionary. That's not what it's talking about.
No,
that's
right.
Yeah. In fact, it's not even talking about this. The Lord put me in. That word literally means horizontal. The Lord put.
Yeah.
That's in the ministry.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Never mind.
It means to be prosperous before the Lord. Put you. He put you. He put you in. Listen. In a place where only He can enable you.
Amen.
He put you in a mannerism where He, regardless of what anybody else is doing, He is the only one that can really encourage you.
Come on.
Amen.
Because you recognize that He is the one who put you in.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. That encourages me.
Yeah.
That makes the hair stand up on my, I almost said heaven on my neck. Amen. Just think what the Lord has done for you. And what the Lord has done for me. And when we recognize that, understand, when we recognize that, how the Lord has placed us in, and if we get a grasp on that, can I tell you what? People are going to wipe, they're going to want to wipe their feet on you. You can't always take encouragement in your people. You have to take encouragement in the Lord, amen.
Yeah.
The people can't always take it. Listen, people can't always take encouragement in someone else. You have to take your encouragement in the Lord, no matter what is going on. It's all about Him and not about me, not about you. It's all about Him, amen.
Amen.
And we must take encouragement in Him. He says in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. In fact, that's the same scripture that Jesus is quoting over in the book of Matthew, chapter 23, where He says, He paid tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, yet ye have forgotten the weighty matters of law, justice, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. That was a tithe, amen. But He says, the importance is on the matters of the heart. And He says, that's for the ministry, the matters of the heart for the ministry, for you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ. It's in James 4:6, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The idea of being placed or put into the ministry in God's terminology, in God's way, is that we would be humbled. Humbled. If we're humbled, can I say what? If we're humbled before God, it will seem that we're humbled before man. A lot of times we want to be humble before man, but we're not humble before God. And people know the difference. They know the difference. They see the difference. Can I tell you, people aren't stupid.
Yeah.
Amen. People aren't. Preachers aren't. Hey, people listen. Preachers aren't stupid either. Amen. They see. They know. They understand what's happening. Amen. He says in James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, but be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Right.
1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Well, we see the enabling of Christ, and we see the encouragement of Christ, and we see the embedding of Christ. But look at one more with me, if you will, down to verse 13. We see the exoneration from Christ.
Amen.
Look what he says. But Paul, if anybody understood this, Paul understood this. Amen?
Amen.
Paul understood this.
Right.
He says this, who was before a blasphemer? I don't know if you were ever a blasphemer, but I was. And a persecutor. I don't know if you were ever a persecutor of those who were saved, but I was. I used to laugh at them and make fun of them. And what, preacher, I tell you what, I'll never forget. I might have shared this here before, but let me just share this quickly. Bob Yolder and I, a fellow I grew up with, we were in our teens, probably 16 years old, 17 at the time. both wicked, both ungodly, were drunk one night. And my Aunt Flossie, I'll never forget, invited us in, and she bugged us all week long to come to an old-fashioned tent revival meeting of a guy that's not our stripe. And many of you know who Rex Humbard is?
Yeah.
Many people do not know that he had a brother by the name of Clem Humbard. And Clem Humbard used to hold tent revival meetings all around the country. About every two or three or four years, he'd come into the area, and he'd set up his tent out at our airport in Jefferson, Ohio. And my aunt, every night, bugged us to come to that meeting. So we thought, oh, fine, we'll go. But we went drunk. And we sat there the whole time he preached, we laughed at him. And we made fun of him. And we ridiculed him. And we were going to get up when we were all done. And there were just a handful. I don't think there was many more people in that whole tent than we have in here tonight, brother, to be honest with you. And when we were all done, we were going to get up and we were going to walk out. We started to turn around and started to walk down the aisle, Bob and I. We got just about to that back tent flap. And my Aunt Flossie caught us both. And she grabbed us both. She's a little woman, tiny thing, but she had bony, strong fingers. And she grabbed us by the arm and she started squeezing. And she turned us around and says, "You boys are getting saved." It don't work that way. Amen.
Amen.
And she took us all the way down to the front preacher, and she gets down to the front of that pulpit, to the right, I'll never forget, to the right hand side of the pulpit, right over here, and she goes down like this. And when she went down, she pulled and made us get down on our knees. And she looked up at Clem Humbard and she said these words. She says, "These two boys want to get saved. They need it." And I'll never forget them. I'll never forget those words long to live. And Clem Humbard just stood there. He said, "Okay, say this prayer." And we got up, walked out laughing, and got drunker than we were when we went out. We weren't saved.
No.
We weren't saved. Amen. But there was one day in my life, 1974, January 15th, where I got down on my knees in that prison cell. Went down a sinner, came up a saint.
Amen.
Came up different than I went down. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, I thank God for that. I wish I would have known earlier what I knew then, but I knew nothing and could care nothing about it. Made fun of the preachers, made fun of the Christians, made fun of those. Hey, I understand what it means when Paul makes this statement. He said, "Boy," he said, "I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, and injurious." Now, I don't know if I've ever been injurious to some Christians, probably, because I had a lot of fights growing up. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And he says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." He exonerated you and he exonerated me if you've been saved by his grace. Let me read you the definition, Webster's Dictionary definition of the word exonerated. Look what he says. I'm not talking about the 1820, what is it, dictionary they got? 1828. Just a regular old Merriam-Webster dictionary, collegiate. It makes a statement. Exonerate. To free somebody from blame or guilt. Don't that make you feel good?
Amen.
Excuse me, we're Baptists. I know we don't go on feelings. Amen.
Yeah.
Don't it feel good to feel good? Amen. Hallelujah. He says, to free somebody from blame or guilt. Well, listen, to declare officially that someone is not to blame. When you got saved, that's how he looks at you. Right. He doesn't put the blame on you anymore. It went on the blood of Jesus Christ, covers it and paid for your sin. Amen. Right. He says, or is not guilty of a crime. To free somebody from an obligation, that's eternal damnation. That's my interjection in there. To relieve somebody from an obligation or responsibility. He relieved me from the responsibility of the payment of my sin when he saved me by his grace. You have been exonerated by Jesus Christ when you got saved.
Amen.
We see his enabling, his encouragement, his embedding, and we see his exoneration to us. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and they cast lots. Even after he said that, they still went up against him. He said in Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And just, hey, that's how you get exonerated, calling upon the name of the Lord, believing, not in unbelief, but by believing him. In Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered from in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. And the Lord has said, and in the remnant of whom the Lord shall call. In Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I still believe in whosoever. Amen.
Amen.
I'll never change my mind on that. As long as I live, I thank God that I was a whosoever.
Amen.
And that He made it possible for me. Made it possible for me to call upon His name and to trust Him as my Savior and to believe in Him. I don't know how that all works out. I don't know. I should have escaped from prison. I got thrown in a hole for fighting. We already had the windows cut and the bars cut in the windows to escape from, Pastor. And I should have escaped with those guys. When they escaped, but they threw me in the hole for 10 days, me and two other guys that were going to escape together. There was about 5 or 6 of us. Well, then it would have been about 8 of us, probably, or 7 of us anyway. And when they brought us out of the hole, they put me in a different part of the prison. And he put one of the other guys in a different part of the prison. And he put the one guy back in that part who only had 3 months to go to the parole board. I never did find out what he was in prison for. He came from the state mental institution, Lima, Ohio, when he came to the prison where I was at. We just became great friends, amen. We're a lot alike. Listen, God put me in another part today. One morning about, we were just waiting for a foggy morning. Because we knew if it got foggy enough, they cannot see us go from the corner. If we went out the window, walked to the corner of the building, it was a dormitory. And we walked down and made a straight beeline to that fence. There was a guard tower. But the guard tower had no guard in it because the toilet did not work. And we knew that. And we had the bolt cutters for the wire fence. You say, where do you get that stuff? You would not believe what you can get in prison. They shook our prison down one time in Marion, Ohio. I was in 6 different prisons in 4 years. They shook the prison down one time and they found a 32 pistol, that had come in pieces and it was put together. They found that and they found a bullet, one bullet. I don't know who it was for, but it wasn't for me. Amen. I'm still here. Amen. But they found those things. You would not believe what you can get. And so that night, a real foggy night, about 2:30 in the morning, the alarms go off, all the lights come on in the prison, and 5 guys escaped. 5 guys. My friend was one of them. As a result of that escape, I'm not going to go into detail, but as a result of that escape, all 5 of those guys got a life sentence. All 5 of them. My friend went to the Marion County Jail waiting arraignment for those other charges. He overpowered a turnkey. Stole his .357 Magnum. Stole a police cruiser. In Marion, Ohio, started down the road, and another police officer come around the corner and was chasing him. He ran either a stop sign or a red light, I can't remember, but he ran this light and kept on going. The police officer went to go behind him and got hit by a lumber trunk of his truck and was killed instantly. And now he's doing today in Lucasville, Ohio. If he's still alive, I lost contact with him years ago, he quit writing me. If he's still alive today, he's doing 2 life sentences for that escape. That could have been me. That would have been me. That would have been me if I wouldn't have been saved. But that would have been you. If you weren't saved.
Right.
I tell you or not, amen. Don't matter. It doesn't matter. Mafia or not, don't matter. It's still been you. Because we have a life sentence of death on us until we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. I thank Him for His exoneration. I thank Him for the power of His blood. I thank Him for His death. I thank Him for His resurrection. I thank Him for saving my wicked soul. Amen. But I know this, I could not do anything without His enabling. And I sure take comfort in His encouragement. Amen. And I sure thank Him for His embedding me in the ministry.
Yes.
regardless of where you're at, he has embedded you, regardless if it's in a full-time ministry or if it's helping in a church, he's embedded you. Brother Davey's embedded you guys back there. He's embedded you, Brother Bill, he's embedded you here.
Yes.
Placed you in, put you in a position to serve him and to help him. And boy, I sure thank him for his exoneration.
Yeah.
Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I thank you for your precious word, Lord, and I thank you for the privilege you've given to me this morning to share it. Thank you for all, God, that we have heard here today, all the preaching, Father, what you have accomplished, what you have done, what you have pointed to our hearts in, Father, how you have helped so much and encouraged us so much, Father. Help us, God, to take courage in you. God, help us just to serve you with all of our heart. Help us, Father, to look at the to grow in your grace that we saw about Peter this morning, Father. Help us to, God, just to want to serve you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, Father, and all of our strength, as your word says, God. I just pray, Father, help us and strengthen us and use us to your honor and to your glory, our Lord. Move us out of the way, Father. Move us out of the way that people would see you and see you only. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for what you've done and what you continue to do. We'll give you the praise and thanks now. Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Let's all stand. We've had a good meeting. And I'm Carol Merritt, and I sent us an invitation.
And as they do, again, if you need to get a hold of the Lord, we got to have altars up here. And let's just meet with the Lord a little bit and do something with the preaching that we've heard here on this day. If you want to kneel there, come to an altar. Let's have an invitation. Praise the Lord.